I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Ooh, savage.
I like to keep it real simple.
This week on the Simply Savage podcast, we have the one that's always in the know, Perez Hilton.
Hello.
I'm so excited to have you on this podcast because I know a little bit about everything and everybody. So we need some tea, but we'll get to that in a minute. I am so curious, how in the world did you get started in this?
Well, I've been doing what I do now for nearly 20 years. It's insane to me that it's literally been a lifetime for somebody that's in college, a high school senior. I've been doing what I do longer than they've been alive.
So you're 25. So you started when you were 5 doing all this?
No. I'm thankful that I was 26 when I started. So I had already lived life. I had graduated college. I had struggled a lot. So I knew what it meant to lose at life. I knew what it meant to work hard. And I think it already helped that I had established a work ethic and that I knew about the real world. Because nowadays, there are no rules with social media, but there are advantages that come with certain things. For example, social media does favor the young, and social media also does favor the good looking. So if you're young and pretty, you could do very well on social media with minimal effort. You don't even have to work that hard. You'll do well. It's a lot like real life. I started, 20 years ago, in almost 20 years ago, I started in 2004.
Okay, what was your first story?
I remember.
You do?
My first story, I was driving into work that day and Howard Stern said something that was homophobic and it pissed me off. So I just did a post about that.
That's amazing. And then you just never looked back.
Yeah, I mean, I never would have imagined what my life would be like or even could be like because none of it existed. I don't even jokingly call myself this. I am the first influencer, truly. There was no one doing social media creation before me because social media didn't exist. In a slightly different way, somebody that even predated me was this journalist named Matt Drudge from the Drudge Report. in the 90s, he broke the Monica Lewinsky story.
Oh.
And then his website became popular. But he always was a behind the scenes personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I really did invent what it is to be a modern day creator, the modern day influencer.
Well, you're right, because hearing his name, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup of three people. I would have no idea. But you, hearing your name, I'd be like, oh, that's him right there. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so many after me, I was like, oh, yeah, I've done that. I did that. I did this way. I did that way. But thankfully now, you know, when I started, it was all so new and nobody had done it before. Now I'm thankful for these younger people and maybe even older folks. I do love seeing every once in a while, like a grandmother or a grandfather that all of a sudden becomes popular on social media. But even then, like one of the ones that I love to follow, Babs, you know, the Brunch with Babs.
Yes. She has me hooked on like her cooking because I cannot cook. So she's like, oh, this is the Babs way. I'm like, well, yeah, let's watch that.
I love that she was able to find this success at this stage in her life. But now there are companies and managers and people that have experience with non-traditional clients.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't a lot of heavy lifting required to educate brands and advertisers why they should be working with these personalities. Now, brands and large corporations want to be working with influencers.
It's funny how all of that has changed, right? Because beginning, like you said, when you started it, I'm sure people are like, wait, what is this about? I don't know. Are people really going to be watching this and really engaged in this? Now it is completely different. So it's like people have embraced, oh, everything is now on TikTok or everything is now on the social media side. We've got to jump over and almost latch on to those people that have those larger built-in following.
And they, you know, there's still some brands that are old school, maybe have older people running them that maybe, you know, aren't going to be prone to doing this or that or the other. It's fine. But yeah, it's exciting for me because social media and the internet and life, really, the world, it's a constant evolution. It's always changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, TikTok is very popular right now, but it will not always be this way.
Right.
Just look back. You know, at first it was MySpace. Then it was Facebook. Then it was YouTube. Then it was Instagram. Then it was Snapchat. Now it's TikTok. There will be a thing that comes and is the next hot thing that's very popular.
What's your prediction?
I'm not sure. It could be Vine. Elon Musk says he's going to bring back Vine.
Oh.
I don't think it will be Twitter. Twitter had a brief moment in time, but Twitter was never on the scale of Instagram or on the scale of TikTok. I think the next thing will have to be either something that's photo or video based,
mm-hmm.
because it's easier for people to digest photos or videos. You know, people are busy and they turn to things like TikTok or Instagram as escape, right? And
right.
You can much quicker scroll through videos and photos than you can reading a bunch of tweets and text. So that's what I think the big hurdle of Twitter is. But I don't know. It could actually even be something like YouTube having a renaissance with their shorts.
I know that's coming up next year. Early on, they're making a big push.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I do know, as somebody with a personal grudge against TikTok.
Yeah, we need to talk about that, but go ahead.
They just censor too much. And it's really disappointing.
Well, you had an account taken down, right? Because I didn't know about this.
Multiple ones.
Oh, do they ever tell you why? Or it's just...
Yes, violating community guidelines is all they would say.
Wait, do you think this is because, like... I mean, obviously, you have the gossip, right? You're in the know. Do you think that it's one of those you either love him, hate him type deal, and you think it's kind of like TikTok's like, no, we're not on that? What do you think?
I think it was, from what I heard, a lot of popular creators on TikTok complained and said that I was bullying, and I wasn't. But, you know, if enough people get together and make noise to mom and dad, you're going to be kicked out of the party. And listen, I get it. It's their house, their rules. They can do whatever they want. But I do know, without a shadow of a doubt, that I didn't do anything that warranted me being banned forever from TikTok.
Do you feel, you know, looking back at some of those videos, do you think some of those videos now you're like, oh, well, I guess I could see where that would be a little bit of bullying, or that would be a little off color? No.
Some of them were cringe. Definitely.
And I was didn't doing see it, them, so I don't know.
I was making cringe videos on purpose.
Wait, were you doing thirst traps, sir?
Not thirst traps, but I definitely was being like, I was being provocative and cringe. Because it's like, you know, it's kind of like what Madonna does. It's so easy. I was the original Madonna on TikTok.
Well, then I'm going to have to say thank you for that account going down. No, just kidding.
You know, Madonna makes a lot of cringe TikToks because it gets attention.
I agree. I know that's why she's doing it 100%. I mean, she's been around forever. She knows what people are going to keep a buzz about, right? She's going to stay relevant based on it.
Yeah. And not only that, you know, I am a narcissist like she is. Okay. And any attention is better than no attention, including negative attention. And the thing is, the reason why I was back in 2020 and Madonna now making cringe TikToks is because it works. Mm-hmm. It's effective. It's cheap. It's easy. It's lazy.
Well, think of all the thirst traps. That's why I was joking about thirst traps. Think of all the thirst traps out there. It's super easy to take off your shirt for a dude, right? And swing your wiener around and everyone's like, oh my God. And it literally goes viral. So I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. And the thing about TikTok too is that here's like a secret of TikTok. It's a lot like Las Vegas, okay? It's about volume. You gamble. Meaning, I feel bad for some of the food creators because you could spend so much time making a great food video. It might take you an hour, right? And then it gets no views. Then that food creator, if they diversify their content, they might make a silly video that they make in 15 seconds. And that silly video that they made in 15 seconds will go viral and get millions of views. And the one that took them an hour to make, no views. You know, TikTok is about volume. The more you make, the better your odds of winning in Vegas. So it's quantity over quality almost. Ideally, if they're all quality, even better. But it's really about the more, the better your odds.
When I talk to people that say, I want to be a creator, I'm like, don't get frustrated. Just keep putting the videos out. Keep putting them out. Yeah, but I mean, what if they don't do well? I'm like, here's a secret. I know for a fact some of these other larger creators, I've seen a video on their page and it didn't look like it did well. And I go back, that video is no longer there. They're taking it down. So you can't go based on going to someone's page all the time either and saying, oh, wait, but they have a viral video every video. No, the hell they do not. No, they don't. Stop trying to compare what they're doing with what you're doing. You just can't.
And that's also what I tell young people or even older folks too. People have this misconception that ideas are special. But I don't believe that ideas are special. I believe that people are special. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in Ohio, right? Mm-hmm. So today, earlier today, you might have had a brilliant idea that nobody has ever done before to create a new product that will be revolutionary. But also today, somewhere in Australia, somebody might have had the same exact idea.
Right.
But you and that person in Australia will execute the same idea very differently because you are different people. Right. So that shows to you the idea is not special. It's how you implement what you do that makes it special. So don't try to copy anybody else or emulate what other people are doing. What you do and how you are different is what will help you shine.
And I love that because even on the trends, right? Like if there's a trending sound, whatever, I think that's great. Use the trend. That's fine. But put your own personality in there. Because if, like you said, if you're using exactly what the other person's doing, it's not authentic to them. So they're just like, let's scroll on. Okay. Talking about TikTok, All of these A-listers are now coming over. How do you feel about that?
The more the merrier, you know, especially for me. It gives me great content to play with and react to and talk about. Social media does not belong to anyone. I actually first got on TikTok in 2019. I was a really early adopter.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, there was a lot of feedback that, you know, old people should not be on TikTok.
Right, right. Because we're the same age. And I got that same thing. When I would send someone a TikTok back in 2019, they're like, oh, that's for kids. What are you doing? You're dancing on that app? You're doing this on that app? You're so old. I'm like, what?
But not even from people outside of TikTok, like in the community. That's when that phrase boomer exploded. Like, okay, boomer. You know, like, and it's right. Funny. Like, anybody over the age of 35 on TikTok is considered very old.
Right. Someone will come in on my, like, a kid will be like, okay, grandma. I'm like, I'm not, but okay. What are you, like,
I mean,
eight?
I'm a senior citizen compared to
right.
These kids they're very popular. But here's the thing, you know, sure, if you're young and hot, it might be easy for you now to do well on social media. But it won't always stay that way.
Right.
The algorithm changes. People get bored of you if you don't vary your content or show them a different side of you. If they've seen you shirtless, looking hot 100,000 times, eventually they'll move on to somebody younger because you got old and you got ugly or whatever it is.
Well, look, so I love that the A-listers and just anyone is coming on there because I feel like there's a common ground now. Right? It's almost like someone can watch your video and connect with you or jump into your live and actually connect with you and feel like, well, I'm part of his life and his community now. And I love that. And look at the how powerful it is. I mean, look at the Britney movement. I really have to feel like a lot of this came about with TikTok. Look how many people got on TikTok and said, we are starting this movement to free her. Let's talk about how do you feel about the whole Britney thing?
I think it definitely helped her last year.
Okay.
But I don't know if the community on TikTok specifically is helping her now, just because it's really ventured into like QAnon territory with like crazy conspiracy theories. Like she's dead. She's a clone. She's...
conservatorship
in Hawaii, all of these, it's a CGI, it's computer graphics, it's not, she's being held captive, like all these. Like,
so how do we stop that, right? It was like so powerful and great that people kind of helped free her. How do you switch that now and tell people to stop with that side of it and make it positive again? I mean, how does that work? How does that happen?
I don't know, because even if they get everything they want, these people would still come up with excuses, meaning they just want to hear from her. We just want to hear from her. We need her to do an interview. Okay, let's say Britney gives Oprah Winfrey an interview. If she says, I'm free, I'm happy, whatever, these same people who keep saying, we just want to hear from her, we want her to do an interview, I guarantee you, afterwards, they'll just say, she was forced to say that. She was forced to say it.
I can see
it's
that.
Like there's no winning with them. A few things. Obviously, Britney is not well. She has mental health issues.
Right.
Just because she's not in a conservatorship, that doesn't mean that she's going to be miraculously well or so much better.
Mm-hmm.
She has very serious mental health issues. And her fans, I think a lot of them also had a certain expectation of what her life would look like after the conservatorship.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? That's her life. She doesn't have to behave in any way to make anybody else happy but herself.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy that these fans want to control her life.
Right.
Like it's like, no, she can do what she wants and she can do what she doesn't want to do.
Do you think that they feel entitled because...
Yes.
They help start that movement and they're like, well, now we need to know more and you should thank us or you should be out here telling us more of the tea.
I've literally heard that. They've said she owes us. I'm like, she owes you nothing. Britney owes you nothing.
See, I don't get stuck. It's funny. I don't get stuck on a lot of TikToks of like conspiracy theories and things like that. Mine's more funny stuff. Every now and again, stuff will pop up, but
I get tagged in them.
Oh,
so
no.
I see all of these wackadoodle videos.
What do you think of Meghan Markle?
What do I think of her? I don't think negatively of her.
Okay. Do you think that, because I will be honest, I've seen little bits and pieces. I don't even have Netflix. Is that where her series is on? I don't have Netflix. So I'll see like a random video pop up and something with her about the whole curtsy thing. And I'm like, you guys are really on her about how like disrespectful that is. I'm like, that to me looks like a really nervous, she has no clue. She's in over her head on a lot of this. So it's really interesting.
But listen, I'm sure some people may not be pleased with that answer that I gave a minute ago, where I don't think negatively of her. I also think she's one of these people who she thinks very highly of herself.
Okay.
To me, she comes across as boring.
I didn't even know anything about her. I didn't know. They were like, oh, you don't know she played in this show. I'm like, I've never seen that show. I don't even know who she is. The first time I saw her is when she was with Harry. I didn't know who she was.
And listen, there's nothing wrong with boring. I also think Prince William and Kate Middleton are boring. They're all boring. There's nothing very exciting or even special about them. I mean, we're all special. I get that.
Right, right.
But somebody like, you know, Miley Cyrus, she's not boring. Miley Cyrus is definitely not boring. Meghan Markle, boring, but she doesn't think she's boring. That's the catch 22. She's boring, but she doesn't think she's boring. And I hear my two thoughts. The only reason she and Prince Harry did this whole Netflix docu-series is for money. That's right. It, period, full stop. They are retelling the same story they told Oprah, and they are also retelling the same story a little bit less than Harry will tell in his memoir when that comes out in weeks' time. It's coming out very soon.
Did you think they were going to not go forward with everything once the Queen passed away?
No, they were financially obligated to. They had, you know, signed these deals. You know, they have to provide for themselves because they are now no longer senior working royals and they live a very expensive lifestyle. They bought a mega mansion in one of the most exclusive neighborhoods in all of the United States in Montecito. Their neighbors are Oprah and Katy Perry and Ellen DeGeneres, you know?
Wow.
And they also, you know, have a large security team and all of these things. And like I said, they're boring, but what makes them interesting is the British royal family. Mm-hmm. So of course they have to talk about it and that's what's making them money. So I respect a hustle. I respect somebody that works and that needs to work and that wants to provide for their family. However, I'm a father of three and I think if Princess Diana were alive, that she would be incredibly heartbroken that her sons are estranged. She would absolutely be supportive of Harry stepping aside and no longer being a working royal, but it would devastate her that her sons aren't even speaking. They're estranged. And I think that this Netflix show and the memoir are going to make things even worse. I don't know if you can mend this situation. I don't know how there is a moving forward when they continue to tear down the institution of the monarchy.
Sure.
It's flawed. It's got a lot of issues. But Princess Diana herself said she did not want to destroy the monarchy. She said, that's my children's future. I would think once the memoir comes out, it might be the end of things for a couple of years. They'll do other projects, but you know, they're clearly being advised by a team of media experts, you know, PR professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, definitely not in the UK. They're incredibly disliked in Great Britain. And I don't even know if they're very liked in the US. Like, I think they're probably more disliked than they are liked here. So
I wondered how that was going to be when everything came out. Are people in the U.S. going to actually be on their side, or are they going to be like, no?
If they continue to do the same type of thing,
mm-hmm.
I think it'll only hurt their public perception.
Well, hopefully they understand there are some things that should be off limits. Speaking of off limits, are there any stories for you that are completely off limits?
Yeah, a bunch. I mean, first and foremost, if I can't verify something, if I know something is not true,
mm-hmm.
then I won't report it. I also really have learned from mistakes of my past and things I won't do. Like, I have a no kids policy on my website, so I won't post paparazzi photos of celebrity children. I don't want to financially contribute to that and encourage it in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely try to be mindful of health related things. Like, if there's paparazzi photos of somebody going to the hospital or even grieving, like, I won't post photos of celebrities at funerals and things like that. You know, I made a lot of mistakes in my past. They're very public. And listen, I still make mistakes. I'm a human.
We all do. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I really am doing better than before. And I'm proud of my growth. And I want to continue to learn and do even better.
I think that is an excellent take. I mean, just on life in general, right? If you said, fuck it, I'm going to just put anything out there that I feel like putting out there for the almighty dollar. I mean, could you really live with yourself? You know, could you look at yourself in the mirror every day and say, you know what? I sold out and I hurt this person more and more and more, all for my personal gain.
And you know what? This world is full of hypocrites, because I know if I were to go back and revert to my old ways and be super scandalous and salacious and picking fights with people and all of this stuff, the public would eat it up. It would help me mm-hmm. financially, mm-hmm. but I don't want to do that. I'm not doing that.
I think that just goes to say, you know, the growth, right? The lessons that you have learned. I think that's outstanding.
And not everybody learns those lessons.
Who would you literally be heartbroken about? Like, if something scandalous came out about them?
Dolly Parton.
Oh, same. I think it's Dolly Parton, Keanu Reeves. I think those are my two that I'm just like, I really like them so much. I don't want anything
bad.
But
you know what? Obviously, it depends on what. And also, the thing is that perception is all in the eye of the beholder. You know, because there are some people who believe that Oprah Winfrey has had some scandalous things in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But frankly, I love it when Oprah shows she's human.
Right.
You know, I'm old enough to remember, you know, there have been times where Oprah has held grudges. Oprah has gotten into very public disagreements with mm-hmm. people. And I love that.
Okay. We are now on to the Savage Seven. Okay. Seven quick questions. You can have one skip, but some are going to be a little saucy.
All right.
You ready? All right.
Let's do it.
Number one, who would you never do another story on ever again?
I mean, I would love to never do another story on Donald Trump again.
Okay. Number two, have you ever hooked up with someone that you've done a story on?
I mean, I made out with John Mayer once. That was fun.
Oh, I love it. All the tea. Okay. Number three, have any celebrities paid you to actually do a story on them? Like, on the low? Oh, he's got a smile.
Not celebrities, but yeah. I mean, in the past I have accepted money from like a young musician that might have wanted promotion, or a fashion person, or whatever it might be. But if you're a big celebrity, you don't need to be paying for things
like
that. I
mean, you don't need to, but, you know, some people do things that we have no clue. All right, number four.
Listen, I'm shameless. I've accepted money in the past for stories. Yes.
I mean, that's why I asked. I would just assume that someone would say, hey. Okay, number four. The juiciest story that you've done that you've never released.
Well, it would probably be something I could not share here because it would probably involve very litigious content that people would sue over.
Oh, do you want to give initials or hints?
Well, yeah. I mean, if it comes to drug use, that people would, even if they don't sue you, threaten to sue you, I just wouldn't. There's no need.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. Who do you hope goes away? Not like goes away like unalive or anything, but just like never, we don't have to hear about them in the media anymore.
No one. I think that would be bad juju, like negative energy. Like I want everybody to be successful and thrive. Like I honestly don't hate, I don't even hate Donald Trump. I don't like him. There's not a single living person that I would say, oh, I hate that person. I hate that. I don't hate anybody. Even Kanye West. I don't hate Kanye, okay? I am vehement disagreement with the hateful rhetoric that he's been spewing, but I don't wish him ill or harm or anything negative. So I would say nobody, you know?
All right.
And that's not skipping the answer. I'm not skipping that.
No. I mean, we'll see if we can let him answer that. I think that's a good enough answer. Okay. What TikToker would you want to spill the tea on?
Well, I literally just came across some videos about Charlie D'Amelio having some drama with her boyfriend. I think they might not be together anymore.
Okay.
Travis Barker's son. Did you know she was dating Travis Barker's son?
I didn't know that.
Well, I don't know if they are anymore. Oh. There's some drama going on there.
Okay. Has anyone ever paid you to not do a story?
No, not to not do a story.
That's surprising to me. I would have thought they would try and keep some things under wraps. Like, no.
Well, they have, but nobody ever like said, oh, I'll pay you if you don't do this or that. Actually, without revealing, because I'm a person of my word.
Okay.
I actually just had a conversation like this recently where this celebrity reached out to me because nobody will know.
Okay.
I did a duet on TikTok to a video that I was tagged in.
Okay.
With this one celebrity saying something shocking. So this person reached out to me and said, why did you post that TikTok? And I said, well, it was shocking and I was tagged in it. And they were like, but I thought we were friends. And I said, I felt that was important to share. And then that person was like, oh, that was illegally recorded. I'm like, oh okay. Well, I didn't know it was illegally recorded. Let me delete the video now.
Did you delete it?
Yeah. Well,
Well, that was kind.
I didn't know it was illegally recorded. And,
okay.
And they claimed it was edited too, which I don't know.
Well, that goes to show. I mean, listen, it goes to show no matter who you are, where you are, people pay attention what's out there about them.
Oh, yeah.
They do. I mean, it does matter to people. For sure. Well, I think you did a good job on the Savage 7.
Oh, I think you did.
Okay. So since you are in the know, I have one more question. So I am single. I would like to know. Oh, you are? Okay, we have to go out and get drinks, go hang out. I'll be your wingman. I'm a really good wingman, I promise. Okay, who would you, out of all the people that you know, who would you put me with? Who do you think I would be a good match with?
Somebody local, first and foremost. You know, I don't think long-distance relationships are conducive to single parents. You know,
right.
It's harder for anybody, but even harder for a single parent to make a long-distance relationship work. So I would say it'd have to be somebody local and a strong, I would say for, basically I'm just talking about myself now. I'll wish for you the same person I wish for myself.
Okay. Let's go. Cause I want to like think of who I can fix you up with.
Somebody local for me and for you.
Okay.
Somebody who's very different from us. So my dream man actually has no social media.
We want the same person.
I told you. My dream man has no social media, is somebody very strong.
Okay.
Because I know, and I've experienced this, like anybody, first of all, it'll take somebody strong to even be willing to get to know the real me, because I have a public persona that I think is different from whom I really am. And not many people are willing to explore that and to get to know the real me. So somebody strong to deal with that, and somebody strong to also deal with the crap they will get by dating me. Once they were to begin dating me, I know that friends, family, coworkers would be like, why are you dating Perez Hilton? Ew. Ugh. So it really, I mean, basically it would require a saint of a human being. a miracle man. He's out there. Saints do exist.
Okay, but wait, looks wise, you have it. Everyone has a type. Not that I'm saying that you're like, oh, I wouldn't date someone outside of this type, but everyone has like a type.
My type, like visually?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
he's smiling. You know, you got something in there.
I think like Jonathan Groff. Like, I like nerdy. I like a nerdy, a high school teacher or somebody that works with kids, like Jonathan Groff. You know who he is?
He's on Glee.
Like, well, he's kind of dreamy, but he's also nerdy too.
Okay.
You know, like I like somebody like I think cute over hot. Like hot and sexy.
The hot ones get me in trouble. They get me in trouble.
Hot is great to look at on Instagram. But I wouldn't want to date hot. Like, I want to date cute nerdy.
We're going out, though. We're going to pick a time. We're going out. I'm going to be a wing woman for you because I think I would do a really good job.
Well, I need some action.
Don't we all? All right. Last but not least, is there anything else that you want to share or divulge or discuss? Anything that you would like?
I don't know about you, but I've had a really difficult December. Mm-hmm. And I think that other people might as well be going through a hard time right now. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I am so grateful that I'm in therapy. And if you have access to that, I would highly encourage you to continue that or to explore that.
Right.
It's been very beneficial to me.
I'm the same. I don't want anybody to think that I'm nodding so Perez can see me. But yes, I do therapy every Wednesday.
I would also say when things get hard, it's easy to fixate on that thing that is making our life hard.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things are not in our control, like the future. You know, we may want to control the future, but we can only control so much and mainly just ourselves. So I've been trying to be mindful of my thoughts and shutting down obsessive thinking about things I cannot control and the future and possible scenarios and all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And also just remind, like, I'm aware that I am so blessed. Reminding myself of all the things I do have, like my children and my mother and my health, which really is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without our health, we have nothing. So I just want to say, cheesy as it sounds, one day at a time, and, you know, focus on what you have and try to be healthy. I know also for me, it gets easy. For many people, it can be easy to spiral like, oh, okay, I'm just going to emotionally eat or whatever it is. So, you know, focus on your health. Focus on little tasks that you can achieve that will make you feel better. Even if it's something as simple as, you know, I took a shower this morning.
Right.
That was an accomplishment. I took a shower this morning. You know, little things like that. I just want to thank you for having me on your podcast.
Thanks for coming. We had a blast.
You know, I know that you probably have already or will get crap from having me on your show.
Listen, it's Savage Mom Life, right? It's one of those, I am the sweetest person, but fuck around and find out. I was interested. I wanted to know like how you got, I wanted to know more about the person that is putting stories out. And you're a real person. You're a human. Everyone is human. There are going to be other guests that I have on that I'm sure people are going to be like, wait, what? Well, because I want you to see who's behind this. And I guarantee you people have learned things about you today that are like, oh, well, that's very respectful of the fact that he's not going to do a story on X, Y, and Z and things like that. So I appreciate you taking your time, and I'm going to be your wing woman. I mean, we worked it out. Yeah, it's great.
Well, I look forward to it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.